11. We have to get there as fast as we can. Martha sat at the edge of the ocean, panting, exhausted, legs apart, at Jen's feet. She did not try to get up. She said, "Look, Albert is a dick. You can take everything I've given you and go to the police. That's what I came here for. I came to say sorry and to give you everything." Jen said, "Aren't you going to try to convince me not to do it?" Martha said, "I'm going to try, but I think it's okay if it doesn't work." Your friends fucking kidnapped me and brought me here and kept me here against my will." She had stepped out of her suit, which stood next to her, an oddly patched friend and protector. "Look at my leg." She showed the long curved scar. "You did this to me." "I'm sorry," said Martha. "I didn't know, but I should have known, and I'm sorry." Jen sat down suddenly on the sand. "Look," she said, "tell me the truth. Did you get me to turn a woman into a pillar of salt because of some religious bullshit?" "Oh," said Martha. "Yeah, I read your stuff about the pillar of salt and survival, and you know, I didn't have all the pieces, but I knew something was screwy." "It wasn't intentional," said Martha. "You know, I didn't send the Enochites after you, but obviously I felt responsible. And so I put Augur onto your phone, and it tracks, like, blood pressure, heart rate, a bunch of stuff. So I'd know if you were in trouble, and it could help, Augur. I wanted to help if you were in danger." "So the pillar of salt was, like, a coincidence?" Martha thought back to the alert coming through from Jen's phone, to Augur's outline of the tactical possibilities of Jen's situation, to the overwhelming guilt Martha had felt in this moment that her actions, the fractal unfolding of her decision to leave her father, had led to this troubled person pursuing Jen down an air conditioning vent in a mall in Singapore. "Augur offered me a few different options to get you out of there. I guess the salt, I didn't think about it until afterward. It just felt right. You know, I grew up in a really weird way, and a bunch of those stories are just sunk into my bones. I don't know. I suppose that option felt familiar to me." "Augur gave you options? It wasn't just doing it all itself?" Martha had forgotten that Jen hadn't known this part. "Oh," she said, "no, Augur never really worked. It can't do what we said. It can't see the future. It's just a tool like SatNav or a translator. You know, it can look around, analyze what everything can do, what can be used as a weapon. It can present options." "It never worked?" "No. I mean, you can try to be prepared, but no one can know what's coming next. The system is too complex. These artificial intelligence things, we treat them like gods, but they're not real. There's no way to really know what's going to happen." "It never worked?" Jen was suddenly choking for air, laughing the true laughter that only comes when we sit with another person in trust. "It never fucking worked. You got them here. You convinced three of the richest people in the world. You got me here, and it never worked?" And Jen was laughing, like Martha, a kind of laughing that is like crying. Later, Martha said, "We had to do it quickly, rip the Band-Aid off. You know, eventually all of these things would have gotten solved, or the human race would have totally collapsed, and the planet would have righted itself one way or the other. But doing it slowly would have been horrific to live through. Hundreds of years of misery, rising seas and famine and drought, refugees from one war bringing so much pressure onto another country that it created more wars, civilization boiling itself down into enclaves, new diseases coming from the bats and the insects displaced when we cut down more and more trees. We were circling the drain, hundreds of years of horror before we could start again." "I thought you said there was no way to know what was going to happen," said Jen. "Yeah, well, there's no way to know exactly which of those things were going to happen in what order, obviously. But a bunch of those things were going to happen, and Lank and his friends were going to make sure they were okay, but the rest of us were going to have to live through it and suffer. And this was a shortcut. I can't control everything forever." "Oh, you can't? Really? I guess it's good you know that." "Good to know, yeah. I just thought, if we can get through this part as quickly as possible, if we can just move really fast, then we get to the next bit where it's actually nice and there is electric public transport and low-cost food and the birds come back and we all get to mend our electronics, not throw them away, and the cities are more livable and the rivers are clean and healthy and the air is more breathable. We just get to that part quickly. The future is coming. The wind is driving us toward it. There can be a beautiful world on the far shore. I really think so. But we have to get there as fast as we can. And now? Martha chewed her bottom lip. Maybe I've done enough, she said. You can't fix everything forever, but you can try to tip things in the right direction. Whatever you decide, maybe it'll still be okay. Jen weighed the files Martha had given her in her hand. I could take these to the FBI then, she said. The FBI and the BBC, the CIA and Australian Secret Services, and the French and German ones, all of them. I could take it to everyone and you would be arrested and sent to prison for the rest of your life. Probably, said Martha. I think if you do that, there's a chance people will try to put some of the things I've done back the way they were, out of anger, feeling manipulated. But that's okay. When I decided I had to come get you, I knew there was no set of lies I could tell that would stop you finding out the truth. So I decided to tell you. And I can do what I want. Go to the media and the government. Fuck you in more ways than anyone has ever been fucked before. Martha said, I'm not asking you for anything. It's your decision. I've put myself in your power. She raised her hands and surrendered. Later, a great deal later, Martha said, you really waited all this time because you trusted I'd come. I trusted someone would come, but I hoped it'd be you. Martha smiled. So in the meantime, did you meet anyone else? Jen said, oh yeah, on the deserted island. I've had a long thing with Ellen Bywater. Didn't anyone tell you? They told me it was Zimri. Oh, he's more my type. Their fingers met and touched. Sometimes it's just right. It can be tough to figure out all the logistics, but this part sometimes just works. Jen said, 3 fucking years of my life. And my leg. 3 years and a leg. Well, not the whole leg. Still, though. Martha said, I'm really sorry. It was unavoidable. And Jen said, I guess you're going to have to find some way to make it up to me. They laughed as children do when they are thrown high in the air. We are all falling, all the time, from the half-understood past to the unknowable future. The other name for falling without fear is flying.